Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Street. I am Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. You also know that normally my show is on Sundays at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, today we have a bonus show. We have a director that was unable to make Sunday, so because he's a little bit out of the box himself, it makes perfect sense that he would be appearing on the show or being present on the show at a different time. Today I'm going to be interviewing Lloyd Kaufman, and for those that know Lloyd, they love Lloyd. How can you not? He's done crazy projects that are outside the box for sure, definitely outside the mainstream, and hopefully we'll get a chance to ask him about what inspires him to do these wacky comedies that are filled with blood, gore, sex, nudity, you name it. It's kind of an equal opportunity offender. He's done it all, and we'll get a chance, hopefully, when he calls me to speak with him. And he's also blazed a trail for a lot of other filmmakers through the years, including Quentin Tarantino. Most recent project that I just saw last night that Lloyd produced was Father's Day, and hopefully I'll get a chance to talk to him about that as well. And I think I have him on the line. Let's see. Okay, Lloyd, are you there? Try that again.
Sabrina.
Lloyd, are you there?
It's Sabrina. I'm going to put you through to him right now.
Okay, great.
I do? Okay, great. Hold on one moment.
Okay. We've got Sabrina, his assistant, on the line, but we're going to get Lloyd here in a second so we can ask him all about his wonderful projects. And as I was saying, I saw a project he produced last night called Father's Day, which I'll be able to talk to him about as well. Hopefully he'll let me know here in a second when he's on the line. But sometimes it takes a while, folks, to patch things through. A lot of times when you're interviewing people, the assistant has to come on the line first, and that's what happens. But hopefully
he'll
come on board here. Hello, Lloyd.
This is Lloyd Kaufman's assistant to the assistant. what's all this about now? Very busy.
How are you?
I'm okay, Rachel. How are you?
Good. You're flying all over the place. You're busier than I am.
Nobody's busier than you, but I'm pretty busy. Yes.
Okay, well, we're going to dive right into
you.
Some questions. How's that?
That sounds great. Thanks for being interested in trauma and Father's Day and trauma dance and all of the trauma's activities.
Well, let's start out in the beginning. What inspired you to get involved in this crazy business?
I made the mistake of going to Yale University, where I was roomed with a movie nut, and he ran the Yale Film Society, and I caught the disease. I started going to see the movies that were being shown at the Yale Film Society, and I suddenly realized this is what I will do. I will give what I have to the movie-going public, what little I have.
And I know you were involved in some mainstream projects. For example, you were a location manager for Saturday Night Fever. That's just one thing you were involved in.
I was the location executive.
Okay.
Very important.
Let's clarify.
That's right. I taught John Travolta how to dance. I made him dance.
I believe it.
I took him to the stars, like Lance Bass.
That has a whole other connotation.
Oh, really?
I'm not going to go there.
Wasn't sure. At any rate, I've worked very hard on Rocky and Saturday Night Fever, and I don't know whatever happened to those movies, but I hope they did okay.
I think they did just fine with your help.
Good. Even in spite of my being on those, in spite of my being members of the staff, they did okay. That's good. Good to know.
Yeah. What made you turn away from mainstream and go to the indie direction?
Well, I had always intended to be independent. When I was at Yale and being influenced by my roommate, the Cahiers de Cinéma crossed my desk, the notebook of the French Cinémathèque Française, and they the critics of the Cahiers du Cinéma were people like François Truffaut and Jean-Luc Godard and Claude Chabrol and Chevrolet Coupe de Ville. And they all propounded the theory that the film should be the exclusive product of the director, that it should be the director's event, the director should have total control, the director should be the author of the movie, namely the auteur, and the auteur theory is what has governed Troma. And unfortunately, the auteur theory is stupid because it doesn't suggest you should be Michael Bay. I could have been Michael Bay instead. I could have been making Transformers Part 62, but instead we just produced Father's Day. Big mistake.
Yes.
Michael
Bay is
the winner.
But look who you got to play in Father's Day. You know, that's pretty important.
Did you see it?
I did. I just saw it last night, actually.
Oh, great. Oh,
yeah, Nina hooked me up.
Oh, that's terrific. Oh, I'm happy.
Yeah,
I
was fascinated.
Yeah, it's a very interesting film.
My friend kind of turned away, and I was fascinated with it. I couldn't stop watching it.
Well, the young the young men who made it are extremely talented, and I would say they're probably the most talented Troma graduates since Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the South Park guys.
Wow.
Whatever happened to them, by the way?
I know. What happened?
Anyway, Cannibal the Musical. They made a very good movie called Cannibal the Musical, and Troma is one of Troma's favorites. And these guys, Astron 6, are a very talented group, and Father's Day is proof.
Yeah.
People love it.
It seems like everybody I'm sure loves it.
What's that?
I'm sure everyone loves it.
Yes, everyone
does.
It's
got all the elements
everyone.
To it.
Yeah, everybody loves it, and it has been playing. It's got about 100 cinemas around the United States and Canada that it's been playing, and people are selling out. Everybody loves it. Standing ovation. The actors get better and better in it, too.
You know, all the Troma films have kind of a similar formula, you know, sex, nudity, gore, like equally opportunity offenders. Is there anything that's ever too much?
I think, Rachel, as long as we believe in what we're putting up on the screen, it would never be too much. It would only be if it was going up on screen for some hypocritical purpose.
So as long as it follows the storyline.
As long as we truly believe in what we're doing, we can do anything. We don't care.
Mm-hmm.
We're already blacklisted. We know that economically Time Warner and Sony and those guys have got a monopoly or an oligopoly or a cartel. So we may as well make movies we believe in, and here we've been going for 40 years, and a lot of bigger giants than we have fallen by the wayside. We're still here, so do what you believe in, and there are no lines that can't be crossed if you do what you believe in.
Mm-hmm. What do you think was the most challenging project that you've worked on?
I think Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken.
Yeah, I love Poultrygeist.
It had so much
that movie.
In it. Oh, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it, and it's a favorite. But, you know, it was in addition to special effects and car crashes and zombies. And it had the musical comedy. It had five or six songs in it. So it was like producing two or three movies at the same time, and it was extremely difficult. But well worth it.
Plus makeup and everything else.
Yeah, lots of makeup, lots of
chicken costumes, tutus. You get to wear a tutu.
Indeed. Yeah, indeed.
You seem to have a similar theme with tutus. Several of your films have tutus involved.
Well, being a gay married man, what's not to like about tutus? And plus, the Toxic Avenger, I don't think there are too many Marvel characters who wear tutus, but I could be wrong. I think Toxie's the only superhuman hero who wears a tutu and carries a mop.
And carries a mop, yes.
There's a Broadway musical, Toxic Avenger, And
yeah.
It has been very, very successful, and written by Bon Jovi keyboard artist named David Bryan, who just turned 50, just had his 50th birthday.
And I heard there's a Trauma remake, possibly, that's in
yes,
possibility
well, it's
right
been
now?
Signed. Yeah, it's all signed up.
Yeah?
Akiva Goldsman, the man who won an Oscar for A Beautiful Mind, he has signed to produce, along with Richard Saperstein, a $100 million remake of The Toxic Avenger with the big stars and blah, blah, blah. So
wow.
That doesn't mean it definitely gets made, but it looks looks like they're very serious. Looks really
That's
serious.
That's great.
Yeah, but we're not supposed to talk about Tom Cruise playing Little Melman.
Is there anybody that you really would like to have work in one of your films?
You.
Well, you know, that's
Rachel.
A possibility. We talked about it already.
I know. I think it's very important.
I'm
not
waiting.
A big fan of stars. I don't think stars do much other than pull in a lot of money to the box office. And there's a very small number of those guys. Of those individuals, there are very few Robert De Niro's or, you know, whoever's Samuel Jackson's. Although Samuel Jackson, his first film is Death by Temptation, a trauma movie, Death by Temptation. Very good movie, by the way. Terrific.
Yeah, one of the trauma films.
Yeah, it's one of our best. The stars distract. When I see a movie and there are stars, I saw The Descendants with George Clooney.
Right.
And it's a good movie. It's an excellent movie. But why did it have... It was distracting to see George Clooney. It would have been better if it was an unknown who's a good actor. I think it would be much more believable. But it still was a great movie, no question about it. Now,
how do you think is the best... Go ahead,
Len. No, go on.
How do you think is the best approach for someone to get their movie noticed on the internet? Or, like, what's the best marketing strategy?
Well, I don't know. I think one good suggestion would be make a film that is entertaining, perhaps. Have something to say. Read a book. Maybe get educated. Maybe don't do a zombie movie. just a few cynical thoughts. You might want to read my library that I've written six books about movies. The most recent is called Sell Your Own Damn Movie, and I reveal all the secrets of how Troma has been able to prosper all these years. And
why do you think you
Sell
Troma.
Your Own Damn Movie. What's that? Sell Your Own Damn Movie? You've read it already and you love it? Oh, thank you so much. What was the next question?
Tell us a little bit about Trauma Dance and, you know, why you started that and why you think it's effective.
Trauma Dance was started about 13 years ago because Trey Parker, Matt Stone, the Cannibal, the musical guys, and I went to Sundance. They wanted to go, and we were all shocked at how snotty it was and how it really did not seem to be a festival for independent filmmakers. Or people who were truly independent of spirit. So so we decided that we would start a festival where you didn't have to pay to submit your movies. You know, Sundance charges you to... you know, they don't have enough money, apparently, Redford and company. So they charge these poor filmmakers money to submit their movies. They also charge you to see the movies, and then they've got a VIP policy, of course, where the big shots are up on the hill at the top of, even though they don't ski, they're at the top of the ski lodge, and all the little people are down where the sewage drains. And we thought that was pretty repugnant for Sundance to, that setup was pretty ugly. So we set up Trauma Dance in the same village that Sundance takes place, and at the same time. And, but it's all free. You know, you can submit your movies for free. You can see the movies, and there's no VIP policy. Everybody's equal. And we did it. We put on Sundance in Park City, Utah during. We put on Trauma Dance during Sundance, for 10 years, but then we outgrew Park City. And we think that we had a good influence because we perceive mm-hmm. that Sundance seems to be a bit more involved with truly independent films and filmmakers. So we
I noticed that, too.
We moved to Troma Dance to, I think we shamed them to some extent, but other people did too. But I do believe we had an influence on them. And we outgrew Park City, so we are now we've moved to Troma Dance to Asbury Park, New Jersey. And this May 4th and 5th, Asbury mm-hmm. Park will host Troma Dance, and this will be the 13th year of Troma Dance, which is pretty cool.
And you still have open entries until March 15th, right?
Excuse me?
You still have open entries. People can submit their films until March 15th, right?
Yes. Thank you for saying that. Yes, the deadline was extended because we couldn't mm-hmm. get to pick them all up from the post office. So we've agreed to we've extended the deadline to March 15th so you can send your movies and it costs nothing. And May 4th and 5th, and you can go to www.tromadance.com to download the admission form, the submission form, I'm sorry.
Okay. Now, also, you are I don't know what your involvement is right now, but you were the former president of the Independent Film and TV Alliance. What are there any major issues that independent filmmakers should know about right now that are going on, that they're fighting
for?
I was
the elected chairman of the Independent Film and Television Alliance, which is the trade association for the independent entertainment industry, about 200 companies who pay dues to try to fight for things they cannot do separately. One of the things that the organization does is it puts on the American Film Market, which is a big, big convention that takes place in Santa Monica. And if your listeners are interested in breaking into cinema or if they're interested in networking a bit, the American Film Market, which takes place in November, at the Lowe's Hotel in Santa Monica would be a good place to walk around because it gives you kind of a cram course in exactly how the movie industry works. And Troma, of course, is a big player there, our office is open to everybody at the American Film Market, so a lot of young people converge there, and kind of it's a pretty good way to study the movie business. As far as issues go, I believe that. And again, I'm only on the board. I was elected twice, and that's all I can have. But I'm still on the board. I think one of the issues that people should be thinking about is to preserve net neutrality on the internet and to make sure that if and when the internet becomes the golden cow, the golden calf, or the golden chalice, whatever, if the internet does become a source of revenue, we want to make sure that the cartel, the big media conglomerates, don't colonize it and take it over before we can get our share of the pie, because we've been eliminated from just about every other source of revenue. Unless you're with one of the big conglomerates, you're not going to get on television, or you're not going to get licensed to HBO. They're all owned by a small number of companies, and unless you're in with one of the vassals of the majors, you're pretty doomed. The internet's the last chance, and it's very important to keep net neutrality so that the internet remains democratic and open and a level playing field. Your show has as much chance to get listeners and to be popular as does Walt Disney on the internet. If you have something interesting, people will come and listen to it. Unfortunately, you've got me now, so people are probably going away from your show and listening to Walt Disney. But who knows, maybe you'll get somebody more exciting. But the Internet, if you have something good, the Internet affords you a chance to gain a public, and Troma indeed has been quite successful with the Internet. We have a huge fan base, and our website is very, very popular, troma.com, and Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Lloyd Kaufman, where I talk to the fans, and I can be interactive with them. But if the net neutrality stops and the the elite create their own superhighway, sort of a CBS, ABC, and NBC world on the internet, we're all going to be screwed even more.
Yeah.
So we have to fight that in Washington and make sure that the lawmakers do not do away with net neutrality.
Okay. Go fight that, absolutely. I know you're going to be on Oddities on February 18th, by the way, at 9 p.m. on the Discovery and Science Channel, right?
This Saturday.
Put that
yes,
out there.
This Saturday. Yeah, that's right. That's on the what channel? What channel is Oddities?
Discovery and Science Channel.
Oh, boy, that's great.
There you
yeah,
go.
I'll be on the Arsenic Avenger is what the segment is called. It's quite amusing, and people are obsessed with Oddities. It's incredible. Must have big ratings.
Anything else going on? what else is coming up, Lloyd?
Well, we've got Father's Day. I'm headed for Boston this weekend to present
mm-hmm.
Father's Day at the Coolidge Corner Cinema. And then next week, the 24th of February, Father's Day will open in Los Angeles at midnight at the world-famous landmark New Art Cinema. Very beautiful
okay.
landmark cinema. So
well, we have a few minutes.
Boston, this Boston, I'll do the Q&A. I'll be there, and same with California, Los Angeles. I will answer questions and do a Q&A, and we'll have some guests with us. Famous directors will be with us in Los Angeles. The guy who directed Frozen and Hatchet, Adam Green, and also Joe
mm-hmm.
Lynch, who used to work for Troma also, and he did Wrong Turn. He directed Wrong Turn, and so those two guys will help host the and Count Smokula, the great Count Smokula, will play some of the music that he wrote for Father's Day. Very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a big deal. And in Boston, I'll be doing
great.
The Q&A, and the Toxic Avenger will be with me at the Coolidge Corner Cinema. And it all takes place at 11:59 p.m. tomorrow night, Friday night. The movie keeps
okay.
playing, but I'm only in Boston at Coolidge Corner Cinema Friday night.
Okay, great. Well, we have a few minutes left. Any last advice that you want to give to filmmakers out there or anything else that you're doing that you want to tell us about?
Well, I think that would be great if the fans could go on Kickstarter. Troma
mm-hmm.
Dance Film Festival has a Kickstarter, and traditionally our fans with $10, $20, or whatever they can spend, and donate money to help us with Troma Dance Film Festival. And this year Kickstarter is raising money for us, and it's through our fans. So that would be very helpful because we don't have any revenue from this festival, and
mm-hmm.
Troma is not rich. So we depend on Troma's money, the fans' money, and sponsors. So if anybody can go on Kickstarter and give a few bucks for the 13th annual Troma Dance, that would be really helpful. Very, very
So do they go to Kickstarter.com and then type in Troma, or do they go to Troma.com and...
Troma Dance. Go to Kickstarter and type in Troma Dance, or go to TromaDance.com and type in Kickstarter.
Okay, one way or the other. Okay.
No, just large. Hello?
I lost you there.
Sorry, yeah. No, thank you. So
what
Kickstarter,
do you think
Troma Dance Film Festival. It's very idealistic, very beautiful, and a lot of fun. And it's all free. If anybody's listening, you can get to Asbury Park, New Jersey, May 4 and 5. I'll be there. We usually have a very interesting panel of people who are on it and talk about interesting issues, just like you're talking about it. And
okay.
So that would be great if your listeners could help us out a little.
Okay, great. What do you think your legacy is going to be, Lloyd? What would you like it to be?
I've given an arm and a legacy. That's what they're going to put on the
Literally, in the movies.
I think I that's for you to decide. I think that just I was a nice guy and gave a lot, kept my nose clean and... clearly, Quentin Tarantino and Peter Jackson, a lot of the famous newer directors have been influenced by Troma. I can't say, really. other than there are a lot of movies that we made that are there, you know.
Yeah.
I would guess, I prefer to be remembered as being a good guy and helping people and doing what I believe in. And I think that might be the best legacy, is to thine own self be true.
Yes, you said it again and again.
Shakespeare, yeah, yeah.
You know, I made a movie called To Mine Own Self Be True.
Oh, wonderful.
So similar, yeah.
Very cool. what was that about?
It was about, I was just me in it, and it was me being a multiple personality.
Oh,
so
cool.
So it was trying to find myself through these multiple personalities. And in the end, the personalities come together, and they're fighting each other the whole time.
Great.
I think you would love it.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to send it to you.
Yeah,
it's very bizarre, awesome. And you'll love it.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. You should send it to the Troma Dance Film Festival. Maybe it'll get in.
Yeah, I could. Actually, it was shown at Spooky Empire. Now it's called Spooky Empire. It was Scream Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Shown there a couple times.
Great.
So.
We had the premiere of Human Centipede at Troma Dance several years ago. And last year we had a wonderful movie called Kidnapped, which I think has done well. And then The Taint is a terrific movie. Keep an eye out for The Taint. That was shown at Troma Dance last year. And actually Troma acquired it. It was so good. The reception was so good that Troma actually acquired it. But we've had some really good movies at Troma Dance.
Yeah. So, you've got a couple coming up, I know, that are coming soon. Purge,
cool.
Kill, Where Evil Lives, all of those.
Oh, those are movies we're
that
releasing.
You produced,
they did not. They have nothing to do with Troma Dance. But The Purge is a very good movie. Very, very good movie. Purge is an amazing, futuristic, very, very profound and disturbing and beautiful film. And Kill, wait till you see Kill. Kill is, I can't even describe it. If you like Father's Day, you will certainly.
You'll like Kill.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's amazing. If you like anything.
All right. It looks like we're running out of time, Lloyd.
Well, thank you, Rachel, and appreciate
you.
Your time. And thank you to all the fans who have supported Troma for 40 years. And hopefully we'll stagger along. Thank you very much.
Yes. I will talk to you soon.
Thanks,
Lloyd.
That's good. Bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so we just had an excellent conversation with my buddy Lloyd Kaufman, and I hope you got some information that you can use out of that. Google Independent Film and TV Alliance that we talked about, that he is part of the board for that. Find out about what they're up to. He talked about keeping the net, you know, neutral, net neutrality, and you can find out what, you know, what they're doing in that respect. Also, like you said, go to his website, troma.com. Also, go to Kickstarter and type in Troma Dance, or go to Troma Dance and type in Kickstarter, and help out his very independent film festival. You know, his films are not for everyone, but the audience that he has gained is a loyal audience. His films have, like I said, gore, sex, nudity. The Father's Day that I just watched had, I mean, gay, rape, I mean, you name it, it had it in there, and it's for a specific audience. But, you know, it's all done in good fun, and that's what makes it successful, I think, is that it's all done tongue-in-cheek, and they have a blast doing it with a lot of makeup and effects and gore, and it's just great if you are into that kind of thing. But I thank you for listening today to this bonus show. And like I said, usually my shows are on Sunday at 1 o'clock, and you want to tune in then, because I will be interviewing this Sunday Jeff Freeman, a director that's local to South Florida, who was inspired by Lloyd. And I will be talking to him about his movie. So you want to make sure you check that out. Okay, but thank you for tuning in, and just keep to this website, keep checking and see what's coming up next and who I'm interviewing next. And you can go back and you can listen to all the archives if you missed any part of this broadcast or any of the other shows. I've interviewed a whole slew of filmmakers in all different realms of the business, so you can check those out anytime. But thank you for listening today, and I will talk to you guys soon. Okay, bye-bye.